Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. This morning, we're going to review a 700-page economic textbook.
Yes, and I'm beginning page one. Table
actually, we're not going to do that, are we, Mike?
No,
what are we going to do today?
We have another Old Town show. We do these periodically just to kind of touch base with reality. You know, we're always out there in the political world of mostly lies and deception, but here we got some hard reality and some fun stuff. We have a couple of guests in the studio. We have Jet Tennant from the Rendezvous in Old Town, and we have Paula Wosley, who's got some really interesting stuff to tell. Not that Jet doesn't.
I don't know, Paula.
That's right. So I'll be seeing you later. I'm going to go finish my workout. No, but seriously, we got Paula. Let's start with Paula only because I already gave her such a big thing. She's building the Revelation Winery in Old Town Cottonwood. We're going to talk about all kinds of Old Town stuff. A place where I spent a lot of time, and not just with other old men. I spread a lot of my money around down there, the little bit that I have, but I'm a aficionado. So we're going to start with Paula. We're going to talk to Jet, and then we're going to expand it from there. Steve, what do you think?
I think that sounds good. I given my sciatic, it was a walking tour with Mike in Old Town.
You know,
and it was really interesting. And we spent a lot of time in coffee shops and tea shops and bars. And
we drank moonshine.
He doesn't know everyone in Old Town, but he knows a lot more people in Old Town, Cottonwood, than I do.
They see me walking down the street. They see dollar signs and a big tipper.
There's a nice bookstore there too. It's a really interesting place, folks.
Yeah, Adventures Unlimited is a nice bookstore. I just got two books from there last week. They're looking for. In fact, I'm ordering the Sedona book from there. They did a couple of locals. Speaking of absolutely nothing, has anything to do with what we're talking about today, but some local people did a great book on the Red Rock Loop Road, kind of a little bit history.
I never heard of that.
Birgit Lowenstein and Sam Braun, two people, and two others. I don't remember the other two authors. Four authors on the cover. And they did this wonderful, very readable history of the Red Rock Loop Road.
So the history of world economics will have to wait until next week.
Let's talk about the history of Revelation Wineries, which we're beginning this history here. Paula, what's going on? Old Town was a good place for a winery?
Well, Old Town is the place for our winery, absolutely. Revelation Wines is coming to Old Town. It's going to be Old Town Cottonwood's first fully operational winery. So we have several tasting rooms in Old Town currently. This will be a project that includes a working winery, and it's going to be considered an urban winery, if you will.
I like that.
We'll be doing production there. The grapes will arrive. We'll harvest. We'll bring them in. We'll produce the wine there. We'll have a tasting room that will be open. We'll be featuring Revelation Wines. Revelation Wines is a project that myself and winemaker Tim White and Lisa Rhodes and Tom Schumacher put together. Over the course of the last couple of years, we've been thinking about it, and we really pulled the trigger last July when we found the perfect building to purchase.
You found that building. And it just happened to be an old church. Is that where you got the name Revelation One?
Yeah, okay. You go. Pretty quick. It was a church. It's located at the corner of Pima and First in Old Town Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. It's a good-sized space. It's about 6,000 square feet. So it's not going to be a huge winery by winery standards, but big enough. We'll probably produce about 5,000 cases, and we'll be utilizing fruit from Arizona, and we will also be sourcing fruit from other Western United States vineyards.
You know, privately, but I'm going to say it on the air, that one of my dreams is to be, I got an acre and a quarter in Cottonwood, in the city limits of Cottonwood, which my intention is to grow grapes on so I can provide fruit for your wine.
Absolutely.
Is my goal.
You should talk to us before you plant.
Okay.
So, you know, don't put anything crazy in the ground. We're not going to buy from you. But we are definitely encouraging and sourcing fruit from local Northern Arizona vineyards. We figure we'll have the actual production part of the facility ready for the probably not 2014 harvest,
right?
But definitely by 2015.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when do you think you'll actually open?
You know, that's anybody's guess. We're mm-hmm. in the, this is actually the city of Cottonwood's first winery. So winery, city proper. We have other wineries in Cottonwood with Cottonwood addresses, but they actually live in the county.
All right.
So we're kind of getting through some of the growing, learning. We have, you know, to explain why we need certain things. We will be the first building in Old Town that is sprinklered. And I think that's kind
wow.
of funny when you consider we have a block building
yeah.
with a bunch of stainless steel tanks full of liquid. That just are not going to burn. But, you know, we're trailblazing because we know that there are other people interested in putting, I know of one other actual winery going into Old Town probably in a couple of years.
Huh.
So we are creating the verbiage, as it were.
Yeah, let's go ahead and make that distinction. And only because there's a lot of people that aren't familiar with wine and they say, well, isn't there a bunch? Well, no, there's a lot of tasting rooms, as Paula pointed out, in Old Town. And there are a lot of, there are vineyards around the Verde Valley.
Right.
And this is a winery, of course, is someplace that, that makes wine. And
yeah, we make the wine and we will encourage you to come in and participate and watch. You'll be able to see the full production facility from the tasting room. So you're going to come on in, enjoy a glass of wine, and be able to see what's going on. We'll demystify it. You know, it's a, people have a kind of a romantic vision about making wine.
Yes.
We're going to show you, we'll show you that it's work.
It's work, yeah.
And you want to come help, you know, no problem. Come on in.
That help part.
Yeah, right? We'll get some help. We do intend to, you know, Revelation Wines, it was a church.
Yes.
And as it stands right now, three of the partners are ordained ministers. So
wow.
we will be encouraging people to come and get married.
The minister of the grape or something?
Yeah.
The,
you know, we're think about it in a irreverent, funny way. You know,
I like it.
In a past life, I put a restaurant in a hospital. Called it the Asylum. Got away with that.
Got away with that.
So I think putting a winery in a church is not too much of a stretch.
Yeah, no,
right? Revelation Wines. And we'll be making great wine and a revelatory kind of experience for people.
Coming from Oklahoma, I found out that this is a Baptist church.
That's right.
And I think people will be rolling over in their graves.
Yeah,
they should roll over in their graves.
You can't count the kinds of heresy we got going on here.
Yeah.
Those of us are old enough to remember that it was a senior center before, which I think also has a certain amount of humor in it.
Yeah.
Probably having the winery and the senior center together would be an excellent idea. We do want to move around the corner for a minute. You just heard the voice of Jet Tennant, who's here also this morning as the proprietress of the Rendezvous in Old Town. Certainly a famous and favorite watering hole. Certainly a favorite one of mine, but
yay beer. Yeah, and we're calling it Riot. We're going with the acronym. That's
okay.
When we're going to push. It's confusing for people because they hear Riot from the locals who use it all the time, and they see Rendezvous in Old Town. The signs are coming down, and we're going to focus on the Riot.
Well, they did that with Future Farmers of America, but that's a whole other story.
FFA.
Yeah, just call FFA now.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Well, I was confused. Mike said, well, I'm going to Riot. I thought.
Yeah, right.
Mike, you're a little old for
a little radical,
the streets.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, old radical guy.
But I didn't realize they were the same place for a while.
Well, there you go.
Until you explained
now you know why she's
very
doing
well
it.
To me that they were.
Yeah, so the new signage is coming in, which I guess I need to go get permits for.
Are you listening? Are you listening, Conway?
Yeah, it's great. We're working the craft beer. We're getting the patio. There's a patio bar that Lisa and Tom started, and I bought from them, and they did a fabulous job. I say it's a springboard for me to get really creative and just put some finishing touches on. And the outdoor patio should be open in the next 2 weeks. So we'll have 40 craft beers on tap, and we're going for about 40 bottles. So if you want to get a good selection of craft beers, which are exploding everywhere,
yeah.
It'll be a really great opportunity to taste.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The kitchen is open. People think we don't have food, but we do.
Now you're opening for lunch too, aren't you?
We are open for lunch. Today we're closed because we're painting. A little bit of an emergency painting thing came on. We thought we could get done yesterday, but we couldn't. So, but you normally open 11 to 11, 7 days a week.
Wow. That
yeah.
makes it easy. That's
yes.
great.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a
so
great
you've taken
spot
over
in the
an
corner.
Existing bar and, restaurant?
Yeah. And it's an old gas station. So the doors open up and there's a lot of patio seating. There's games, ping pong, cornholing, darts, lots of game boards, craft beer. It's a good place to bring the family and relax on a weekend. Come with your friends, big group parties. We sponsor some softball teams.
Here I was thinking it was a very odd name for a gas station. Rendezvous?
Well, it was Martin's back. I bought my tires there. I remember in the very spot that I think the third stool from the left is where they put tires on my car.
Yeah. There are people who come in, they're like, I delivered parts here.
There used to be
a shelf right here. And I go, yay. Yeah. So, no, it's a great space. I absolutely love it. And they were friends of mine, and it was a watering hole. And when I was with the Rooster, Shane bought me out, and he owns it fully. It's doing a great job. We co-sponsored a softball team with them, and we still do.
Yeah, so we want to make sure we cover restaurant lore in Old Town. We're going to do a little bit of that, but
Shane and I did not have a falling out. I love him, adore him. We talk all the time. It's actually worked out great for both of us to have our own business. Being a small business owner, when you have multiple partners, it makes it harder to get some profit. You almost have to be by yourself.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
In a relationship, which we were not. So when this opportunity came up, I took it and he supported me and it's been great.
That's great. Well, yeah, we can talk nuts and bolts. The profit margin in food is pretty small. So, sharing is, although we always like to share, it's not always possible to have enough left over to have a good time and do all the stuff that you want to do, like, you know, all your sports stuff and whatever. But we're
fundraising for MS right now, I think is what he's referring to.
Oh, well, go ahead and say that. That's good.
Absolutely. Jesse Dowling is a council member for Cottonwood, and his wife has MS, and he started an MS team to bike ride to fundraise for research. And I'm on his team, and there's 12 of us. I think the town attorney just got on now, too. So the 17th and 18th we'll be riding.
And you're riding
funds.
Bicycles?
Yes. We did our first Sedona trip on Saturday. We rode from Cottonwood to Sedona and back. And
wow.
For some of the riders on the team, this is their first riding experience. And they were amazing. It's great. I'm very proud to be a part of the group.
And when's the event itself?
The 17th and 18th of May. And there's 30, 50, 70 mile days, depending on where your skill set is. Really, you just fundraise and do the best that you can. So.
And how could somebody get involved?
You can go to the site. The MS site. I know on my Facebook page, if you're fundraising, you have your links. They're kind of all over the place. If you just put MS in anywhere on the web, you'll find it. You can always give.
So yeah, we have done Old Town shows before, and we did wine shows. But in continuing, but Old Town Cottonwood is this evolving story here. The guest that's not here today is Eric Jurison, and although he senses regrets, I don't know whether he's really avoiding us, and he's just very convincing me that
he's avoiding you.
That he's not
it's personal.
That
he's kind of busy.
He's a busy man.
He is.
And we're going to tell exactly why he's so busy. I was in Jerome just a few days ago, and I had lunch at one of his restaurants called Grapes that his brother runs. And we looked at he just bought the building, which we can say now. He bought the building next to the Haunted Hamburger, so the Twin Star. Thank you. And Haunted Hamburger are, I want to say one, at least they're one building anyway, one owner. And of course, he has three restaurants in Old Town Cottonwood, the Tavern Grill. He has the Nick's Crab and Steak and Crab House. And I was just at this place the other night too, at Bocce. Where I actually participated in the namesake, and taught, about half the crowd how to play, bocce ball. And of course they beat the pants off me.
Beginner's luck.
Yep. It was embarrassing. I was with, of course, John Ziegler, who was embarrassed, to have me on his team. But we did have a pretty good time there. And, so he has those three restaurants down there. It is just a restaurant in our district.
And a hotel.
Yeah.
And the tavern, I guess we call it a boutique hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get him to buy my yard, and so we can. No.
I tried to get him to buy me out. I'm like, pay me an obscene amount of money, and I'll come be your manager. I lost him at obscene.
There you go. Yeah. So, he has a restaurant in Scottsdale.
From somebody coming in who doesn't live in Cottonwood, I saw Old Town turn around. And we came because I have family in the area for many years before we moved here. But we would come, and there would be nice little restaurants and stuff in Old Town, and then they would disappear by the time we came back the next year,
the year after.
And it seems to me that it just to an outsider, it looked like Nick's, and then the Old Town Tavern sort of kind of helped get the thing going. There were businesses, successful businesses there, but that kind of generated the kind of street traffic and or foot traffic you need, people going back and forth different places and stuff. Ledbetter Law Office moved down there, consolidating a kind of a rundown old motel.
Crown so that it with the gelato place they were down.
From my point of view, it looked like there was kind of a tipping point where you got enough restaurants, enough tasting rooms, enough other businesses down there that suddenly the place worked and seems to be very, very solid.
Actually, the old men at the coffee shop started it all. We let other people take credit for it. But
the old man coffee class.
We started it down there because we started there and we weren't going anywhere and we spent most. But it is that, and we do want to give government their due here. Cottonwood figured it out, and they hired a guy named Casey Rooney, and
city manager Doug Bartosz. They both were willing to let's try what we can do. And when we started talking about tasting rooms, and maybe we should go there instead of Sedona. Where should we go? And this was back when Arizona Stronghold was the first one.
Right.
And Eric Lomsky said, you know, let's just do this in Old Town. And a great price on rent and started that ball rolling. And then within a year and a half, there were three and then four. And now there's going to be a winery and a brewery. So we're definitely turning into a pretty interesting walking town where people can come and stay. What we're lacking now or we could use more of is rooms. And I know that Eric Jurison is in the process of adding some more rooms.
Yeah.
He's putting in a big penthouse atop the tavern, which will have some additional rooms, and he's looking into...
He's moving out to make room for guests.
Yep, and he put a vineyard in his front yard.
Excellent.
Did you guys have a sense of what was going to happen in Old Town? Or did you take a flyer on it and just put a restaurant or something in there and sort of go for it? Or did you have a sense that it was going to be as successful as it's become? And I thought I saw something on the internet where it's one of 10...
Lonely Planet voted it one of the top 10 places to visit.
In the United States.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. And now, but did you see that coming, or were you concentrating on your individual businesses?
I've been here since 1988, and I've seen Old Town go through some mostly downs. Selling Jack Daniels to Shep's back in 1992, and that was basically all there was in the Sundial. And there was seriously a lot of boarded up places.
Yeah.
And probably back until, you know, the late 90s, we didn't really think much of Old Town going to have anything. And then it started to change, you know, when Nick's went in, and when the movie theater, that was the only other really cool thing to do in Old Town, dollar movies.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, it's really started picking up about 2008. You started seeing this, something's going on here. And now it's bustling. I mean, it's hard to make a left turn in the afternoon. You have people using that route to go, tourists coming in, heading to Jerome are now coming through Cottonwood.
Yes.
You know, the signage has been appropriately put along the highways to get people to take that route. Mm-hmm. And now they're also kind of making their way through Clarkdale, which we're kind of looking at as another new area to kind of gentrify and get people up there on the way to Jerome. So it's really absolutely been a fantastic thing to witness and be part of.
I used to say that I watched Old Town break people's hearts for 30 years.
Yeah.
I moved from Sedona to Cottonwood in 1980. As you pointed out, people would come from wherever they came from and they would fall in love with that part of town. They would recognize the potential. But looks like, I don't know, like all land speculation, I guess, or business speculation. You can't always figure that potential exactly when it's going to happen. You just know it is. And eventually, and here we are talking about it on the radio, and because it finally did, but in the meantime, it was a lot of coming and going.
It went from a boarded up area or half boarded up area to the Lonely Planet's one of the top 10 destinations in the country.
Number nine. Visit in 2013, Old Town Cup.
Did you have a sense that this is where you wanted to put your restaurant, Jet?
I did. You know, leaving Jerome, I didn't. I went through Cottonwood. I knew where we currently put the rooster was up for sale, and I left for 9 months. And then a coworker, Shane, is the one who called me and said, oh, you need to come back. And I flew in just to see what was going on. I definitely knew when the combination of Nick's and Tavern Stronghold Crema, Old Town Cafe, when I looked at that combination, I thought this is absolutely going to explode, especially because tourists get frustrated in Jerome because of the parking.
Yeah. Right.
It's really hard in season to get through Jerome. So it was a really nice stopping point or something to turn around to and come back, and which I'm seeing a lot of people who start and go, oh, I'm going to Jerome, and then you see him later on in the afternoon. It was just too much.
And it's a great place to walk around, and
absolutely,
that's rare in Arizona,
can.
To have a street scene and be able to go from one place to another. Oh. And it's a very pleasant place to walk compared to a lot of cities.
It is, and now we're getting two more restaurants. I know the Mexican restaurant just opened up where Concho's used to be. I do not know their name, but I know that they opened up on the curve. And then what was the Vineyard, and then the Cooperage is now going to be a Greek restaurant.
Greek restaurant. Yeah.
So I'm like, we're going to have Thai, Greek, Mexican, American. I mean,
Italian.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Who needs to leave?
That's right.
Right. No, that's
you don't.
A lot of Sedona is, you know, we can't always forget we're broadcasting in Sedona here, and a lot of Sedona is making their way over there,
I see is the rents and stuff in Sedona are so incredibly high that it's very hard to do anything original and different here. It's not that people don't, but it's a tough what ladder to climb to be able to get something going here in Sedona, because property is so expensive and rent is so high. And,
you know, we need to do a Sedona show just for fair play here.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some events in Cottonwood, and Sedona has the share of events. But, I want to mention this one thing that I was listening to a couple of ladies. I was at the Rooster, these ladies were talking next to me, and they were talking about the nuts and bolts of this particular event on, May 3rd, 2014. Run for the roses, they're calling. I guess they're doing it kind of on a takeoff on the Kentucky Derby. There's some fun events, going on, sawhorse race, fine arts, a lot of music, horseshoe tournament, if that turns on, my mom taught me to throw some shoes. I can throw some bad shoes.
All right.
May 3rd, it looks like it's going all day, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Old Town. Something about, what's a bootlegger's ball?
That is, I do believe, with Sammy Davis, and it's going to be the night before the actual, on Friday night, which is the dance and the party part, and then you're going to have the actual one Run for the Roses, which is going to be fairly entertaining, I think, because you're going to have a lot of shop owners. They've been decorating sawhorses and making them mobile, and they're going to be racing them down Old Town, down the street.
I was worried about them carrying these sawhorses down.
As Steve said, trying something new here. This is the first annual, which we can talk about.
I've never
about
heard the, of a sawhorse race. So.
It's kind of clever. And then the dance is on Friday night the 2nd at the Civic Center in Old Town with Sammy Davis. Starts at 7. And then the cool thing is the proceeds are going to go to Connections Equine Therapy Program, which is in Cornville.
Awesome.
I think that's a nice touch.
Yeah, I've been out there, and I've been out there a few times. Andrea Baldwin, hopefully is still the proprietress out there, and she does some great work out there. Connections Equine out there in Cornville, and there's a little fundraiser for them.
They're using horses and horseback riding for therapy, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Connect up with younger people, older folks,
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Anybody that needs it.
I used to work in special ed, and we would go through horse therapy. It was very calming.
Yeah, it works for drug therapy. It works for lots of different, I know people that have done rehab things and that they come out of rehab, they talk about the horse therapy more than anything else.
Interesting.
Sawhorse races remind me of the Truth or Consequence in New Mexico has the bed races.
Right.
I've always wanted to go.
The gurney races, the hospital gurney.
Really? Yeah. They did that in New York. They had all the bars and restaurants and hotels, particularly the hotels, had big races where they would push a bed down the street. It's a big deal. It's all money's all goes to charity, of course. And stuff.
So we're covering Old Town today. We always talked about the several different ethnicities of food. I was at the tea house the other day. I met somebody came from out of town, and he said, by the way, meet me at the tea house. And this was a foreign born gentleman, so he was much more interested in tea than my old man coffee stuff. And so, okay, fine. We he was from the UK. We met at the tea house. We had our little meeting and it's such a beautiful spot right there on the jail trail. Old Cotwood does have it all, between the jail trail, the little tea house on the jail trail. Like I said, Steve and I had
tea there.
Cottonwood.
Well, it wasn't exactly high tea in our case. It was low class tea, but. But we had moonshine. Moonshine in the afternoon.
Yeah. Out of a mason jar?
No, she gave us some shot glasses.
Okay.
I think she poured it out of a mason jar.
Right.
It was very good. Right.
What's happening with the wine industry? We hear some controversy. Is it really going to develop here? People say to me, there isn't enough land in the Verde Valley to get a real wine industry going. What's the story on
that? Well, you know, it is specific, site-specific to where you're going to plant vineyards. Okay. The wine industry in northern Arizona, well, here's something you may not know. The town of Cottonwood is going through a rebranding right now. And the tagline for the city of Cottonwood now is the heart of Arizona's wine country.
Whoa.
And when you see the new logo, it is. When you see the new logo for the town, it has a wine glass and vineyards. And it's shaped like a heart and a grape leaf, and you've got the Verde River and the Cottonwoods, and it's a really well done logo that represents the town of Cottonwood.
Previous Cottonwood was the heart of the Verde Valley.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Let's throw that in there.
It is. And there is enough land. It's not something, what there isn't enough of is money at this point. People need to get behind it. It's an expensive industry, but it is one of the only industries that the state of Arizona can boast has been growing triple digits since 2006. It is an economic driver. It is producing jobs. We have our college now, which is absolutely, I can report, I teach at the college, the viticulture and enology program. We've broken ground on building the actual teaching winery. Okay. So we've been fundraising for about 3 years. Our goal is to get to $3 million. We got to the point where there's no turning back. They broke ground, and the actual winery will be completed by the middle of the summer. Right now we have coming up May 3rd, the weekend of May 3rd is Adopt-A-Vine, which is a community come on out and help plant vineyards.
This is cool. They've done this before, and I know people.
This is the third annual Plant a Vine.
I signed up for it every year and haven't shown up yet. But
you got to come out, Mike. It is an amazing, fun event. You could register at yc.edu/plantavine, and you can come out with yourself. You can come out with a group of people, and depending on the level that you're interested in supporting. I just made a donation recently for another group I'm involved in, and for $1,000, we have a whole row of vines, and we'll have our plaque at the end of it, and we have dog tags. Each vine has a little dog tag hanging on it with a GPS number, so you can watch your vines grow if you so choose. So adopting a vine is a great way to support the college. At the end of this session, we'll have 17 acres of vines planted at the college.
Attach Nikki Check's name to this.
Nikki Check is the director of viticulture, and Michael Pierce is the new director of oenology. So you could come and learn planting, growing, and take my classes and learn about everything else. We have a 2-year certification program, and it's just the beginning. I mean, it's moving quickly. Yeah. Over the last 5 years, it's been astronomical at how fast, when you look back, we've managed to take nothing to the only winery college in the Southwest. We're drawing students now from all over. I have people who come from Phoenix to take my classes every week. They drive up to take a class.
All over and all ages, I might add.
All ages. We've got people moving from Napa to enroll in the program. I mean,
really?
You could stay in Napa, but yeah, these guys are like, nope, we're going to move from Yountville and we're going to come to the Verde Valley and we're going to take classes here.
Wow.
You know, we specialize in arid farming, dry farming. Yeah. We just opened the floodgates from the water treatment plant in Cottonwood, and then we've got water flowing now, reclaimed water to the vineyards. So sustainability.
These are the vineyards at the college, by the way. It's so close to the water treatment plant.
It is, but you know, had to go over hill, over dale, a couple of communities, and it took a little while to get it going, but they opened those gates, and we now have water flowing to the vineyards that is reclaimed water. When the winery is done, it will be LEED Platinum certified sustainable. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, it was a pain to being out there with a glass of water and pouring it on every vine. It was very difficult.
But you're not going to commit to putting in a whole educational facility if you don't think that the region needs it and is going to flourish, because we're creating people who can do the jobs, and that's important.
What varieties of wine work well in the Verde Valley?
It still remains to be seen, put it that way.
You're still testing.
Yeah. I mean, you look at places like France and in Europe, they've got 2,000 years of experience. They know exactly what grows well where. We are finding we could do a lot of varietals. I mean, it is a beautiful environment, a place to be growing grapes. We've got wineries sort of are tending towards what they like to make. You see Spanish varietals. You see Italian varietals, French varietals. It's doing pretty well.
Yeah, as a wine drinker, I'm certainly, I'm tending toward what I like to drink. And the varietals is, you go for, I mean, this is sort of a cliche, but not, that you go for the taste, you go for flavor. And for someone like myself, who's not necessarily a purist, I'm looking for just, you know, a certain smoothness, a certain whatever I'm looking for in the flavor, the fruitiness, the smooth. That comes from the mixtures.
The mixtures, and you know, this is one of the beautiful things about the college is they're planting lots of different varietals. What we have to do is find the varietals that work well in our environment. You know, things that don't have really super thin skins, maybe things that are going to bud a little late. We have issues here in Arizona because we're growing high elevation with late or frosts that happen in June or in May can really screw you up.
Right.
So you want varietals that are going to bud late. You want varietals that are going to ripen late. You know, we want to get through the monsoons. So all of that is still being, you know, tested and figured out, and where to plant and how to plant is, we're getting a pretty good grip on it. You know, we've got about 20 years now of real experience. John Marcus planted his first vines quite some time ago, about 18 years ago. Ray Freitas at Freitas Vineyards has been in the ground for 15 years.
Right.
I mean, there were a lot of vineyards pre-prohibition here in Arizona. And it's sort of been a legal battle to get to where we are right now. We've just had legislation that is changing the face of our industry, literally finally get through last week, that's going to allow us a little more flexibility to continue to grow.
Yeah,
why does Jed only have beer in Riot and have no wines
she
at
has
all?
Oh, wine. I have wine too. Paula would say it's barely wine, but I do have wine.
She has wine.
Beer and wine. I am actually going after a number 12, which is a restaurant license.
Martini.
So I can have a full bar.
Oh,
but it takes about 3 months. So, yeah.
Martini's to follow. I like that.
But the craft beer is kind of, well, that's where I got my muffin top. So I've got to support that.
And when I go to Riot, I drink wine. Just for,
so she does have wine.
Unless somebody else is buying, then I drink beer. Yeah. If they want to buy me a beer, I let them buy me a beer. But when I go there, I drink wine. I buy bottles, by the way.
Does anybody drink all 40?
There are people who come in and they're, you know, we're not at the 40 yet. We're at 24 taps. And I think we have like 14 bottles. And they'll come in and they're like, oh, I haven't tried this one. And so they go through and try a taste, or, you know, we have 10 ounce glasses. You can do 10, 16, or 20. In your pores.
20.
Yeah, there's 20s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some ping pong.
Yes, and some ping pong. It's really fun. I love ping pong.
Yeah. No, it's great.
So just to go back to the wine, even though there's no wine at Riot.
I drank it all.
What do you think the future is for wine in the Verde Valley? And what's the relationship between, like, growers and producers and the restaurants? Are they serving local wines, Arizona wines?
Yeah, I mean, there's a...
Because they're kind of expensive, right?
Well, it's still an expensive industry in Arizona. When you think about other established... I mean, it amazes me. You can go to Safeway and you could purchase a great bottle of wine from Spain or Italy for $8. I mean, how does that happen? How do you grow a vineyard, make the wine, bottle it, ship it across the ocean, send it to a distributor, get it to a wholesaler, and get it into the hands of the consumer for $8.
Quantities.
Well, it's about quantities. It's also about the fact that we don't have the infrastructure here yet. So everything that has to be purchased or used to create a bottle of wine has to be shipped in. So when we continue to grow, and we can bring in more of the ancillary businesses. You're talking coopers, people who make barrels. You're talking big, giant nurseries who are going to propagate the vines. All of that has to happen before you're going to see production costs go down. People in Arizona aren't just ripping you off because they like to. It's because it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, with Revelation Wines, we're actually going to be making our lower tier cost wines at a friend's winery in California because it will be a lot less. We'll be able to open the door and have a wine that will be, you know, $10, which is really difficult to do using just Arizona fruit. Our model is a model that is going to include grapes from Western United States, and it's about making good wine, bringing you, the consumer, the best bottle of wine that we can make for you. And we're going to be taking those wines nationally, bringing Arizona Wine National, something I did for quite some time with Arizona Stronghold. It's a price point issue. It's hard to get it out there when you're trying to sell an unknown product on the shelf for $25. It's difficult. So if you build the brand using grapes and being economic about it, that you can get out there a little less money, encourage people then who find your wine in a liquor store in Texas to come to Arizona, come to see the winery in person. So the models are, everybody has a different model, and I think we can't really say where the future holds, but it is definitely going to, as more happens, the prices will come down. As more people get into making wine and they're utilizing the best grapes that they can grow and the best winemaking techniques, more word and focus will be put on Arizona. I'm doing an event this weekend in San Francisco, and it's called Tapas, and it's Tempranillo Advocate and Amigo producer. So it's basically Spanish and Portuguese grapes varietal society that's doing an event in the Presidio, and there's five Arizona wineries that are going to be there.
Wow.
So we do have a lot of Spanish varietals. So you're going to see these guys for the second year now pouring Arizona wines at a big event in San Francisco with a lot of wine writers. That's how you turn the eyes of the nation on you. It's by those small few that, okay, we're going to join this group and we're going to go do these events and we're going to get good scores, or we're going to get at least people trying the wines, which is the first thing you have to do. And the more people then that try them out in the world, the more people then are going to come to Arizona to see what's going on.
Now, I swear, and I could be wrong because we know
because you usually drinking thing, you know, are.
But I bought Arizona wines in restaurants for $19.95. I bought a bottle.
Yeah, you can.
I'm starting to see that.
It's out there.
Starting to see.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're not at that magic, whatever that magic, you know, the cheaper ones, the $10 thing is, I know for a lot of people that are.
15 is the sweet spot,
yeah,
retail.
Ten, right. But in a restaurant, if I can get a bottle of wine for $19.95, I don't even.
Was that a deal that was going on?
Yeah, right.
Because a lot of them do it where they'll buy it and they're not charging what they should be to be covering their cost. I mean, that was part of what
standard
I dealt
markup,
with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't ask.
They are so expensive. That is, when you're dealing with the boutique wines in the local area, to bring them to the customer, they don't want to pay that price. That's why I'm just
usually,
like, you know, usually they don't. There's a very few. And then if they do, they want to try by the glass, not the bottle.
Uh-huh.
Well, and then you're stuck with the rest of a bottle. And there's so many tasting rooms. So from my perspective, I'm like, go on the street. I don't need to hold you for this. I want people coming and walking up and down the street and coming back. It's not about getting all their money one time. It's getting them to come back
right.
100
so
and
tasting rooms and the restaurants are sort of synchronistic, is that the word? They kind of support each other.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, our goal for Revelation Wines is to, we're working on some legislation, hopefully, that will allow like growlers for beer, where you can go get your big growler glass jug refilled. They already in California, Oregon, Washington are doing that for wine. We like to say, you know, don't get in your Prius and drive over. Get in your bicycle and ride over and bring us that jug and let's refill it. The goal for us in Old Town would be to be able to have these refillable jugs of wine that they could go. The winery could fill up for the restaurant and they could pour it that night or for a few nights right out of the keg, right out of the barrel. Here is what's available. Here's the white. Here's the red. This is our restaurant, special friends restaurant wines. And everybody in Old Town that's into it will be able to do that and walk right on over, save on the packaging, save on the labeling. Everything will be available fresh to the restaurants. And then by extension, hopefully then we can get legislation passed that we can do it for the consumers too.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, no, I can see the restaurants first, and
well,
maybe, I don't know.
You know, you gotta have a sanitary. There's a lot of barrels you have to jump over that, hurdles that allow for these things to occur, so it's not happening right away, but that would be a goal, to be able to have that situation where people could come in with their container and refill it or trade it for another container and take it away.
Is this the way they do it in Napa?
There are definitely places in California, Oregon, Washington, it's legal there, that definitely have growlers for wine. And those are, you know, we tried to use the laws in those states, in the state of Arizona, as examples. Takes a little while in the state for them to catch on. So it'll happen. It will happen eventually.
That's exciting.
If you looked at Santa Barbara County Winery and Development, where are you on that curve? Because when I was...
Babies. We've got the Verde Valley Wine Consortium and the Arizona Grape Growers, Wine Growers Association, which is a statewide. These are both trade organizations that are supporting the growth, that are supporting marketing, that are supporting getting grants and helping the wineries. The Verde Valley Wine Consortium has their big symposium coming up on June 7th at Yavapai College.
Yeah, I went to last year, so it was very informative, by the way.
It's very informative. We've got, this year we have a grant writer coming. We've got a lady from a glass company coming. We've got a certified wine educator coming. And they're going to give consumers and industry people, you know, outside perspectives, maybe some new thoughts to think about. It's a full-day event. You can more information on verdevalleywine.org, which is a symposium website. That's the kind of thing that we're in our infancy. This is our third symposium. You know, we can't boast of having the symposium, or the consortium's been going since 2008. We've got it's grassroots. We've got an all-volunteer board, but we get stuff done, and we're allowing people to guide us in from other organizations around the country. We model ourselves on several different wine associations as a support system for this nascent industry that needs some guidance. And without trying to be too political or tell them what they need to be doing, just give that support and find those avenues for greater marketing, bring people in. It's like that.
That sounds like a plan.
Okay, why don't you tell us the name of your restaurant, the bar again?
It's Riot in Old Town, known previously as Rendezvous in Old Town, but going by Riot.
And look for a gas station that doesn't have gas.
Blue building.
Ping
pong tables. I love it.
Yeah.
And then Paula, the Revelation Winery. When are you opening, do you think?
We'll have a tasting room and we'll be open before the end of this year.
Wow.
And these guys are 100 yards from each other. I mean, that's just the nature of Old Town Cottonwood. If you haven't been there, that's the nature of Old Town Cottonwood. We're talking about four blocks of wines and restaurants and shops and
galleries,
you know. You know, it depends on, I've said it here before, but, you know, old Cottonwood guys believe that traditionalist Old Town Cottonwood is bridge to bridge, which would be the bridge at Riot and the bridge just down at Bocce, or just near the Chisha. Others, and I believe the of government, goes from the cemetery, which is down near Verde Lee Market, to West Bend.
In other words, in terms of defining what's Old Town.
What's Old Town, and who knows, this crap is like important.
Well, even the city of Cottonwood argues that. I think that I'm actually technically considered outside the boundaries.
So are we?
Yeah.
Because it's the main street, but it's just we're 100 steps off Main, so.
Yeah. In fact, there were times when we had the Cinco de Mayo thing on Pima. But not that it was a good idea, but we had it there and it survived. But yes, lots of events down in Old Town. We have these two things going on. So we did. Steve insists that I do these Old Town shows, and they are the research for these are such a burden.
I like you see working, Mike.
Between the caffeine that I must consume and the alcohol, it is just, and then meeting these really unpleasant people like Jet Tennant.
So we'd like to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks and Democrats of the Verde Valley for supporting the program, giving us support.
Money. Talk about some money.
Next week, what are we going to talk about? How about money and politics again?
That would be
different. Interest in our coctopus. Let's talk about money and politics, because there's a new study out that basically says that unless you're extremely well organized.
I have this picture on my refrigerator, by the way.
Oh my
gosh. Hillary, Bill, and Chelsea. And so we can talk about, want to talk about that? Let's, money and politics, that works in too.
Yeah.
We're talking big deal Hillary stuff. Don't forget, you can find this show and all the others on vvid.org, vvid.org. We have our podcasts, we have our recordings of these shows, and some, and all of them.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.